Professor Kirby, very welcome to Cos Corona.
Thank you very much.
You have written a very unusual kind of history book. In fact, there are two books about what you call the Baltic world. What I first would like to ask you is, would you say that the countries around the Baltic really have a common history?
Well, I have to say that perhaps the title The Baltic World is more the publisher's idea than mine. And I do have some reservations about the common history. There are certain things, of course, in common because there has been considerable interaction. I don't think Swedes need reminding of Sweden's age of greatness and the Swedish involvement on the other side of the Baltic. Or Swedes don't need reminding about the much earlier period of the so-called Viking Age, in which there was considerable interaction across the Baltic. But there are also considerable differences, some of which I hope that I've managed to bring out in my book. The most obvious one that I can immediately think of is a relatively free peasantry north of the Baltic, a peasantry tied to the land south of the Baltic. That's one very striking difference. Perhaps another one, of course, is recent history, the way in which the Baltic has been divided until the 1990s between East and West in a very real political sense.
Speaking of the recent history, do you see a possibility for the notion of the divided parts that will disappear, it will be one region eventually?
It's maybe too soon to say that, but I do think it's, at least at present, it's a very important political necessity to create a kind of Baltic identity. I would say that for a number of reasons. One, I think to overcome the ideological or the legacy of an ideological division between East and West. So in that sense, I think a Baltic or a Northern European identity, I would prefer Northern European, but Baltic is fair enough, would be essential. It's also, I think, quite important for the states around the Baltic to define their relationship with one another and with Europe, specifically the European Union. I think that to have set of common values, easily identifiable features, is important. And certainly, speaking as someone from a country that's not in the Baltic, the image of the Baltic is very low. I have to say that many people in Britain confuse Baltic and Balkan. They really don't know the difference. So I think there's also a necessity to heighten the profile of Baltic. But whether a realistic, homogeneous, common identity can be found or should be found, I think is questionable. I think there's always the danger of trying to fit everything into one bed, as it were, that can lead to distortions The end result is perhaps not fortunate. And also, one should remember that whereas Sweden, Finland, to a degree Denmark, are very clearly Baltic countries, no one would deny that, it's much more difficult to say that Poland or Germany is Baltic. Their history and many of their interests are continental, Central European.
There is a great interest, at least among some certain people here in Karlskrona and in this part of Sweden, for the Baltic countries, for example, Lithuania, where we have twin cities or sister cities. Karlskrona has Klaipeda or Memel, as it was. Do you think that the attempt of exporting municipal democracy into this part of the world from Sweden, is that a way to achieve a sort of better life in that part of the world?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And I can't really praise enough the attempts of the cities of the Swedish seaboard. I from an earlier visit, I found the same sort of things happening in Kalmar, if I may
say so.
Oh, yes, the same project. I think this is excellent. And indeed, in a broader sense, the Nordic countries, I think, have played a very useful role in offering a model, but not forcing it down people's throats. And that, I think, is important. It's something which I think the rest of the world can learn from, that models are there to be worked towards, not to be forced on people. But I there is something else I might say here, which I think that this cross-Baltic linkage, and you mentioned the municipal one, I think there's a lot of cultural activities too, is excellent. I think that the question mark, which I think a number of people have raised, is whether there's going to be a great deal of economic crossing of the Baltic. And I wonder to what extent the highway to Europe via Malmö and across the Sound, and the pull, the very strong pull of the European market of Germany, is going to lead to a certain peripheralization of the Baltic. Somehow the Baltic is in a unifying Europe going to be marginalized. There will be favored areas, golden triangles, Stockholm, Göteborg, Malmö, but those who are outside that, to the north or to the east, are going to be kept outside this. And that I think is something which I found rather worrying, the extent to which the Baltic is going to be on the outside of Europe. Again, another reason why I think it's important to have some sort of identity, some sort of common purpose, powerful lobbying is also very important.
Yes, and this makes me say not again, because this is exactly what we feel in this part of Sweden, that we are at a margin in Sweden, and we would like to think that the emerging economies in Poland and Lithuania and so on is a possibility for us.
Yes, yes. Well, I think you're not alone in that. And interestingly, if you wanted to take comfort, if you like, I think the same thing is being felt by the North German lender, which felt very much neglected within the DDR. Also are worried about what their status will be in the United Germany, but they've been very active also in promoting those kind of regional contacts. I think one of the things which might be worked to for some advantage would be closer contacts between the towns of southern and eastern Sweden with the German towns as well. I think there's a lot in common there, and as far as I understand, the cooperation there is not so great. Sometimes
right.
I think because I think that they regard each other as rivals, and I think that there's a lot that they can learn from each other.
There is a certain rivalry. You can see that in the building market, for example, in Poland and Lithuania and so on.
Indeed, yes. Which I can understand, but I'm not entirely sure if it's wise. I think it's better to pull together rather than a little bit of rivalry, but a little bit of cooperation and talking together is also helpful.
Let's go back in history. After all, you are an historian. Sweden, of course, was once a major force in the struggle for power in this region. And during this century, we have been able to keep out of the turmoil. And the price has sometimes been disrespect from other countries and maybe a bad conscience in our own country. Do you think that Sweden in this context could have acted more firmly against, say, Hitler or Stalin?
Well, I don't know. I put it another way. I think that in the history of the 20th century, places of sanctuary, places that are outside the conflict, places where the representatives of the belligerents can meet, countries that can act as brokers between belligerents have been very useful. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, Sweden certainly has. I suppose the country whose history I know best is Finland. And I have to say, my reading of the history of the Second World War, on the one hand, it can be argued Sweden could have done more to assist Finland. That is an argument. I know that some have put this. But I think that Sweden did perform simply by being neutral, by being there, one might say, but rather more than that, in actually helping to facilitate contacts, was quite important in this sense. If there had been no Sweden, I think it would have been much more difficult for negotiations to have taken place. And in the post-war years, I think Sweden played quite an important role in helping to revive the Finnish economy, in training police forces to go into Norway and into Denmark, so that, given the constraints, and it was, I think every country has to pursue its own interests, and neutrality was Sweden's interest, and I think Sweden was able rather successfully to maintain that. So I don't think in that sense Swedes have any reason to be ashamed of their neutrality.
That's very nice to hear. You are going to give a lecture tonight in a short while. What do you want the audience to go home with and think about and consider after your lecture?
I think, in a word, the notion of integration. I think that's the theme of the lecture, and I'm going to, I think, take a slightly more sceptical view of integration. It's one of these words which is used in political debate rather uncritically. And I think what I want to point out are some of the problems that integration involves. We've already in this interview, I think, talked a little bit about that. The integrating of Europe is not necessarily going to be advantageous to all parts of Europe. Mm-hmm. Some will fall by the wayside and some will feel left out. I think it's that. People, if they go home and think about the nature of integration and how that applies within the region in which they live, that I would hope would be my message.
Thank you very much, Professor Kirby.
Thank you.